Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 8 o'clock service on Sunday, May 27th, 2018.
The first reading is from Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew, and one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts 2, verses 14, 22, and 36. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your holy ones see corruption. You have been made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have no doubt that many of you worry about this world in which we live. And even though Jesus himself would caution us against needless worry, I would admit to you that I find myself often doing the same thing. I look at the world around me, I look at the television, I look at the newspapers, and I ask myself exactly what's going on out there. Kids don't want to go to school. And who can blame them? It's not because of the classes and the tests. They're afraid of being shot. They're afraid of being gunned down. In so many places, even in our own surrounding areas, families can't sit on their own front porches on a warm summer evening, lest a drive-by shooter claim the life of a loved one. You know, recent reports have insisted that the economy has vastly improved, and perhaps some of you have benefited from that. So why does there continue to be so much hunger and poverty and neglect among us? Government is rocked by one scandal after another. The elected officials who are supposed to be concerned with the public good, well, they seem interested in doing only what is ever good for themselves, to the point of legislating many things that directly contradict the word and will of God Almighty. And this should not be up for debate. Yet even sadder still is that so many people blindly accept these things because they're uninformed or they simply don't care. After all, if it has no direct effect on their own lives and the manner in which they want to live them, who cares? Why worry, right? Why speak up? I mean, if you do, you're likely to find yourself in some very uncomfortable place. And who wants to go there? So you say you care, but your actions or your inaction speaks louder than words. You know, even some pastors are reluctant to speak out against the evil that rules our culture, for fear that they'll offend a sensitive member or be threatened with some legal action. So it can be all too easy to look with contempt upon people who seem to be comfortable with hypocrisy, people who claim to have faith in God, who claim to believe in and follow Jesus, while allowing their lifestyles and opinions and indifference and silence to tell a completely different story. Perhaps that's why I struggle with self-loathing from time to time. I must admit that I am no less guilty of being a sinfully indifferent stoic. Neither are you. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's word has made that clear. And in God's word, the first commandment tells us, you shall have no other gods. So we need to forget about looking at all those hypocrites out there. We need to look at ourselves and ask, do I fear, love, and trust in God above all things? But your brothers and sisters in Christ, are you willing to examine yourselves? Are you bold enough to examine yourself? And are you bold enough to do that honestly? I challenge you to do that. But you may not like what you see. As a matter of fact, I pray that you don't. Because you don't trust in the God of all things. You have other gods. The checkbook God, the mattress God, the me first and God last God, the egotistical God of self who desires to be like God, who wants to be the boss and call all the shots. You know, our priorities as Christians are often so very out of whack. And the truth is this. We are no better than all those awful, scandalous, and murderous things that are going on around us. Because sin is sin, my friends. And there are no degrees. All sin is equally worthy of God's damnation, here and now and in eternity. That means you and I are no better than anyone else. If I may ask, does that scare you? I know. God is love. We have a loving God. Well, that's true. And our loving God is also a just God. And the Holy Bible is filled with accounts of a just God punishing people for their indifference toward him, for their rejection of his word, for the disobedience to his will. And it's so amazing because God is so exceedingly patient with us that we can't fully understand that. And yet even God's chosen people were punished repeatedly for having and living a fair-weathered faith. Have we learned from history? What sort of consequences do we face for following in the rebellious footsteps of those generations that have come before us? What are you going to do? Are you going to throw up your hands in the air? Are you going to give up and ask God to put you out of your misery? I know some people who say this. Are you going to try to fight back and take control of your life? I know some people who have made that claim as well. And I hope that you would take neither one of those roads, because neither of those solutions are possible or faithful to the Word of God. People who fight from control fight against an enemy they cannot conquer. They fight only to gain a false sense of security. They fight to justify their own actions and themselves. And you know what? That's useless. As a matter of fact, that's delusional, because no one can justify themselves before a holy and almighty God. But there is a good way, a faithful way, and a God-pleasing way. In Psalm 8, the psalmist writes, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." That name, of course, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the name into which you were baptized. That's the name that God himself put upon you when he claimed you from sin, death, and the devil. The psalmist continues, "Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you establish strength to still the enemy and the avenger." Through the humble faith of a child, God works justice for the good of his people. Why, little children? You know, the littlest ones aren't jaded. They haven't fallen prey to temptations and human folly like you and I have. They haven't been as corrupted as we are. Little children trust in God far better than we do. I've seen it time and time again in our preschool chapel. Is it any wonder that God commands us to have the faith of a little child? The psalmist wonders aloud, "I look at your heaven, at the work of your hands. What is man that you are mindful of him, that you care for him?" Have you ever wondered about those things? Have you spent too much time challenging God? Is your time occupied with vain complaints instead of pondering the wondrous God who created all things, even you? How often have you spent your time thinking, "Hey, what about me, God?" Well, what about you? My friends, on a day such as this, you need to stop and take a close look at the glory of God's creation that declares his power and his might. And then you need to stop and look in the mirror and wonder why God even bothers with you, with me, let alone cares for us in the way that he does. That's something to ponder. The Almighty, the Omnipotent, the Omniscient, the Omnipresent, Triune God cares for you. God knows what troubles you. God knows what tempts you. And God is concerned for you. He knows exactly how deadly these trials and temptations can be for you and your faith. And he knows that your doubts can lead you to do some very unfaithful things. You know, even Christ prayed to his Father when he faced trial and tribulation. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. But not my will be done, but your will be done." You see, Christ trusted in God in all things. And you must pray that God enable you to do the same. And just as Jesus prayed for you, you must pray to the Father that he might watch over you while you are in this sinful world and keep you from falling victim to it. And he enables you to do it. God has given you the Holy Spirit to help you in your weakness. God has given you his Spirit to intercede on your behalf. I want you to give that some thought. The Holy Spirit prays for you to the Father because you don't know how to pray as you ought. He prays that you remain faithful to Christ. The Spirit even prays this while you pray about all those human concerns that weigh you down and would keep you from looking to the promise of resurrected glory in Him. He prays for the faith that He created in you, that you might hunger to be spiritually nourished and remain forever strong in the Lord. So yes, friends, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. There can be no doubt about it. We as Christians live in a sinful and fallen world. That's just part of the life to which our Lord has called us. And that's a life under the cross. We're outnumbered. We're outgunned. We are in the minority and we are hated. Pleasant thought, isn't it? Well, don't let it bring you down. And more importantly, don't be deceived. The gates of hell will never prevail against Christ and His church. And therefore, neither will human scandal, sickness and poverty, natural disasters, or any threats from the enemy. Because you, my friends, are in Christ, and therefore nothing can prevail against you. Just don't expect life to be rosy, okay? Life is going to be tough on this side of eternity. That's why Jesus tells you to take up your cross and follow Him. So take it up. Take up your cross. Not your bank accounts or your new cars or your summer homes and everything else under the sun that might be pleasing to your eye. Take up your cross and follow Him. Live the faith that Christ has given to you. All right. Let's end this by going to the beginning, shall we? Your beginning. Your beginning in your baptism into Christ. Because this is where God claimed you as His own. This is where He put His almighty and triune name upon you, marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified, marking you as one of God's beloved children and co-heirs of everlasting salvation. My friends, rejoice. You belong to Him, and you can trust in Him above all things. What God gives to you here is good for all eternities, in good times and bad, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health. Salvation is yours, completely yours. God has declared it to be so, and no one and nothing can snatch this out of your hand. Give thanks to God. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.